Listener discretion is advised.
Sex advice, having a threesome, and drinking a lot and hooking up with random guys.
Spiker and Dr. Drew.
Loveline.
Loveline is on now.
All right. Echo in my ear. Dr. Drew, what was that? That was a different intro.
I like it.
I like it too. Welcome to Loveline. It's Stryker. We got Dr. Drew here. You feeling any better?
A little bit, but not much.
It was Dr. Drew's birthday yesterday. I know some shows are catching last night's tonight's based on the time, but it was Drew's birthday yesterday, under the weather. Mm. We were both laboring on Labor Day, and you're back, and we have a very nice, lovely guest here. He has one nice bone, according to a lady that works here.
Oh.
SNL veteran, Norm MacDonald. How are you?
Well, I'm good, man. What were you sick with, Dr. Drew?
Me?
Physician, heal thyself.
Vomiting, and then a little washout.
Oh, so you don't know what it was?
It's some virus, pretty clearly.
Well, there's nothing better when you're sick than...
Try to work.
Birthday cake.
Yeah, I know. I know, parties or socializing. It's just a great thing. People are going. People are upset if they can't make you happy too. It's like, no, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. That'll make me happy.
One thing I notice about you, Norm. Well, one thing other than I was this one thing, but your Angels hat. Are you a fan? You're a Canadian, correct?
I'm a Montreal Expos fan.
Okay, they're now the Nationals.
They're the Nationals.
Do you follow the Nationals in that crazy stadium? Yeah. They got that one good player, Soriano.
Yeah, they always have had good players, but. Well, I mean, I had a tough time one year if they played half their home games at Puerto Rico. But no, what happened, I'm wearing an Angel hat. I love baseball caps, and I went into the store once, and I had the most comfortable baseball cap. And so I said, oh, my God, this is the most comfortable cap. He goes, yeah, they don't make them anymore. I go, how many you got? And they say, I only had six left, but they're all different teams.
You bought them all.
Yeah, I don't know what hat I'm wearing. But I know people, like, I'll just be walking down the street, and people go, Cleveland!
That's not Drew Carey walking by you at the time, is it?
But I try, you know, the Boston, the New York hats are the toughest ones to wear after.
I'm sure. Now, what makes a comfortable hat? I don't think I've ever said this hat is comfortable.
Yeah. Here, wear this hat, man.
I can try your hat on?
Sure.
All right. Let's see.
You're not going to find a more comfortable hat than that, I guarantee
you. Is it just the material or the...
This is a freaking comfortable hat.
Really?
No.
Oh, it is.
It's soft on my head.
Well,
this would be good for...
Let Dr. Drew try it on.
Drew's been sick. Do you want his germs on your head?
That's all right, man.
All right.
I'm cool.
It looks ridiculous on me, though.
No,
it looks good.
I saw it in the reflection.
Looks really cool.
Drew, we're trying on hats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Drew.
It's like wear a shirt on your head.
Yeah, it's not tight. It's no... Yeah.
Can I just point out something, how that looked on you?
Retarded?
Well, with your glasses on and the large brim, if you had a pocket protector, you look like the guy from Revenge of the Nerds.
Nice.
Gilbert, I believe it was.
You know,
you
know the name of the guy?
Yeah, Gilbert. It was played by Anthony Edwards from ER fame.
Who's the nerd?
Yeah, he was a nerd. Remember they made Love on the Moon in that one scene?
I never saw the movie.
You never saw Revenge of the Nerds?
No, I don't watch that many films.
I am going to buy you the DVD and have it mailed to your people.
Okay.
And hopefully your people will find you and give it to you.
I don't have people.
Yeah, you got one person. Norm has a CD. It's called Norm MacDonald. Ridiculous. It's coming out September 12th. It's a comedy CD, of course. And you got some famous people, a.k.a. friends of yours, to do some bits on there with you. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to do an album, a comedy album, ever since I was a kid, you know? Because when I was a kid, I never listened to...
Maxed out. Sorry to interrupt you, but they're yelling.
Right.
Just turn your mics up.
Am I not... Should I talk louder?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyways... When I was a child, I never listened to music, but I was listening to comedy albums and stuff. And my favorite were Bob and Ray and, Monty Python and Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
And so
Richard Pryor?
I love Richard Pryor. Yeah. He's the greatest ever. But I wanted to make, not a stand-up one because I want to keep my stand-up for the road. So I wanted to do, a Monty Python type one. So, yeah. Some of my friends did it. So it
Will Ferrell, correct?
Yeah, the great Will Ferrell was in it. He was kind enough to do it.
Molly Shannon?
Yes, the great Molly Shannon was in it. She was kind enough. Some of this will be repetitious.
Is Tim Meadows great, or is he superb?
Tim Meadows is a real talent.
You got John Lovitz on there?
Yeah.
You ever see that guy play softball, by the way? Speaking of baseball and hats, you ever see him hit the ball?
I've seen him do stand-up. He tried starting stand-up when he was 50.
Really? What about those Subway commercials? That's kind of...
Yeah, it's great. You got a catchphrase for the first time in 18 years.
And what's the catchphrase?
Eat fresh.
Oh, eat fresh. And he gets to wear a bathrobe on TV.
Yeah.
I buy Subway sandwiches.
No. He's a really funny guy. He's hysterical.
How long? Up here.
Yeah, no, I listened to that show, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How long were you on SNL for?
I think it was like 4 years.
I think it was five.
Oh, was it 5 years?
Yeah, it was 5 years.
I was on five years.
I know who you are. Watch you. It was 5 years, man. What was that whole experience like? Because being on there for a length of 5 years, to me, I mean, that makes you an official SNL veteran.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's a good run, man.
Yeah, that's all right. They fired me. I would have gone longer.
Now, why did they fire you?
Oh, the owner of NBC didn't like me.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't care for me.
He didn't like the way you did your news.
He didn't like the news.
Didn't you come up with the fake news?
Well, it's interesting. I did come up with that. It's funny because now they say fake news in the media, meaning like the Jon Stewart show is fake news.
Right. You know?
And I just said it as a retarded catchphrase. I'd say, and now the fake news, like, because that was a really dumb thing to say. You're supposed to say, and now the news.
You'd be very serious, yeah. Right.
And so now they say fake news, but what they really mean is mock news.
Mm.
The news is real.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone's stealing your S now.
But they steal it wrong.
And who was the president of NBC at the time?
His name was Don Olmeyer. There was a little bit of a conspiracy theory that I was doing too many O.J. jokes because Don Olmeyer was O.J.'s best friend.
Oh, my God.
And he was actually the only guy to continue to support O.J. and to be his friend afterwards.
There's one guy in the world, and that was him.
So that's nice.
Yeah. Did you see in the news today, Ron Goldman's father was on TV today. They're doing something. They're trying to get, I don't know the lingo.
More money out of him?
Well, they haven't gotten $1, but they're trying to get something in the courts on paper that the payment that, say, O.J. gets for signing autographs goes directly to them because they still haven't gotten 1 cent from that.
Wow.
You know, they had a auction of O.J.'s stuff right after, because he had to give it up. And they had an auction on online for all the stuff, and one of them was his Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so I was going to bid on it, and then I was like, nah, it'll go for so much money, you know. Went for $1,000.
No.
Yeah. And then the guy burns it on the courthouse steps, like in protest.
Right, exactly. Didn't he buy a couple of his old jerseys and stuff like that also?
Yeah. But to have, you know, a Heisman Trophy by itself is worth so much.
Yeah.
This is one of the greatest football players ever.
Schools would pay to keep it on their...
And it's O.J. Simpson.
If you bought it, you could have just had his name scratched out and put Norm MacDonald on there and put that in your trophy case in your Heisman pose.
I stole an ESPY once.
Did you really?
You stole it?
Yeah, I hosted the ESPY, and I saw one, so I just took it.
There's Will's name on it?
Whose name was on there?
Nobody.
You just took it out?
There's no names on
it. Do you actually have it on a mantle in your palace?
The ESPYs are very funny because... you know who's going to be the best golfer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know who's going to win, like, the best quarterback and stuff. And plus, the athletes don't care because it doesn't, like, help their income or anything to win the best.
But they get to go to the parties afterward, which is why they go, I think.
Oh, yeah, with all the white girls.
Yeah. Norm, you're fired from the show.
Why?
Norm,
why?
No, I'm just
they're
kidding.
They're white guys.
Yeah, they are. Do you like the lady?
Why do you assume that I was talking about black guys?
Because they're the one that won all the awards other than Lance Armstrong.
Because you're racist.
No, yeah, I'm not racist.
Of course you are.
Who won Best Bicycle Rider?
Best Bicycle Rider.
Lance Armstrong. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cyclist.
Who won Best Beach Volleyball Player? Karch Karai, probably.
Hey, that's an interesting question. Maybe Dr. Drew could answer this. Why is it that in beach volleyball, I've noticed this with the ladies, in every other sport, the ladies are big, ugly, rough-looking, tough-looking women. And in beach volleyball, they're beautiful-looking girls.
Because you grow up, they have to grow up on the beach to even be interested in beach volleyball.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And only certain kinds of people, like, spend all their days on the beach wearing bathing suits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it selects already a certain population.
Okay. They are good-looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
was at a volleyball tournament this weekend. It's just people hang out on the beach are the people that play beach volleyball.
I'm going to ask you another question. This is sexual in nature.
All right.
But remember Renee Richards? She changed her sex, right? Yep. Nowadays, could you change your sex and then be in the WNBA?
It's an interesting question.
Because you could dominate.
Right, right.
Are you thinking of doing that?
Well, no, but I'm thinking there's a movie in it.
Right.
Yeah, there is.
No, I'm thinking a guy would do that, absolutely, if he... You know, if he could be the best WNBA player of all time.
Just dominate
out there.
Interesting
idea.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
That'd be a good script, though.
I don't want to put that idea out in anybody's mind out there in the audience.
Some kid that just moved here from Iowa who wants to be a screenwriter is now on his computer going, all right.
No, I meant to try to do that for real.
It's called I Had Balls, and then they're going to cut them off. And then they're going to play.
We're losing calls. We had some good on five.
All right.
We're actually losing calls.
No, we're not.
No,
all right.
Good.
Let's take calls here. It's Loveline. Norm McDonald is here. I'm Stryker and Dr. Drew. It's 1-800-LOVE-191 out in Utah. Mickey, you're 23. What's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, happy belated birthday, Dr. Drew.
Thanks, Mickey. What's happening, buddy?
Not too much. Hey, Stryker, how much you want to make a bet I could throw this football over them mountains?
Very good. Very, very good. Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, hey, yeah.
A quick question. After sex, I take like a day to recover, but I've heard some guys take like an hour.
What do you mean recover?
Yeah, before I can have sex again.
Yeah, I mean, you're 23. Most 18-year-olds take like 30 to 60 minutes. In your mid-20s, that starts to lengthen a bit.
A whole day, you mean just to get an erection?
No, before you can perform again, basically,
well,
right?
Yeah, a day is the most. Sometimes it's, you know...
Is it before you're interested again or before you could possibly again?
Before I'm interested again.
All right, well, that's just you.
I mean, what difference does it make?
I don't know. Can you speed it up?
but why would you want to have more sex when you don't want to have more sex?
Right, when you're satisfied.
Because maybe his lady likes it in the morning and in the night.
Well, if you're going to do things for other people, then...
How dare you?
Live your life that way.
Being of service. Oh, my God.
I guess he could try Viagra, Drew, if he wants to speed it up.
Yeah, but then that doesn't increase the interest that much. It increases the potential.
But the product below the equator is going to rise.
It's going to rise the cage.
I think that, you know, with that Viagra commercial, I think one of the most depressing things would be if you went to your doctor and he told you you weren't in good enough shape to have sex.
Yeah.
That's got to be sad.
That's not good. Is that possible
they say on the commercial.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they say check with your doctor to make sure you're in good enough physical condition.
Oh, my goodness.
To run around on a lady.
And one thing they point out, they say in the commercial, if your erection lasts 6 hours or longer, you should see a doctor.
Yeah, because
it's called
priapism.
Yeah, that's one of the side effects.
But is that bad if you have an erection?
Yeah.
Well, you can use it, though, all day.
It's a painful erection.
The tissue begins to die. The blood is trapped.
Yes.
They must cut a vein.
Did this happen to you, Dr. McDonald?
No, I know a lot about medical stuff. I'm not a hypochondriac, but...
Kind of one.
No, I'm very, very cautious, Dr. Drew, because people call me a hypochondriac. Once I had a pap smear, you know, but... No, that's a joke. I have to identify it as a joke. But I'm very, very cautious.
Yeah.
And people call me a hypochondriac. I go to the Mayo Clinic every year.
Hey, by the way, I am driven into distraction by people who don't understand basic medical stuff. The fact that you do are interested in actually... look at it rationally. I'm very pleased with it. I did a show for Discovery Health Channel, and I went out and asked hundreds of people, what's heart disease? Not one person could tell me. And yet those same people had all kinds of elaborate ideas about vitamins and this and that, which are such complex things that nobody understands.
Right.
But they can't even tell you the most basic medical problem that's going to kill most of them.
Exactly.
I have no idea what that is.
So I always think a doctor can't give you good news. All he can do is not give you bad news. You know what I mean? He's never going to come back, we checked out your blood panel. You're immortal.
You're Superman, yeah.
So all they can say is, listen, you're fine. Everything's fine so far. But one day, you know, you'll come back and I'll give you some news that'll shatter your mind like a crystal vase.
And it always freaks me out, too, as a physician. People go, I've never been sick before. This has never happened to me before. Yeah, that's right. It has never happened before, but now it is happening.
Exactly.
It's like, well, it's funny how people think about that stuff.
Yeah, so your only thing is early detection. That's your only thing
you can do prevention.
Oh, and prevention, of course. But I like the early detection.
Yeah, well, the colonoscopies.
I love those things.
Yeah.
And they give you those twilight drugs. Have you ever had a colonoscopy?
Three of them.
And they give you the twilight drugs?
Mm-hmm.
I was asking my doctor this, and maybe he couldn't answer it, but maybe you can. That twilight drug was certainly the most... I was conscious, you know?
Yeah.
A twilight drug's a drug that you're conscious...
Conscious sedation.
Yeah, but you're an amnesiac during it. But they have to ask you questions, so they have to keep you conscious.
Yeah.
So that drug is so powerful that they did a colonoscopy on me, which I did not feel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then how can you die from any drug?
How can you die from any drug?
I'm saying that, if that is much more powerful than any drug.
Well, it has to do with its ability to suppress respirations, really, which is independent of its brain effects to some extent. So in other words, if you are so out of it that you stop breathing, that's different than the issues of sedation. Somewhat different.
Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying?
Okay.
You can be, there can be a narrow threshold, a narrow range of sleep and then respiratory suppression in some drugs.
So let's say heroin. Like if you did heroin.
Yeah.
Because I always hear of people dying of heroin. Yeah. I always hear they die of an overdose.
Well, they accidentally took so much that they stopped breathing.
Right.
Or they vomit and aspirated.
Oh, yeah, I almost did that one.
Those are the two.
I actually did, yeah. So, but on booze, you know?
That's a,
I
don't common way. It's a common way to die on booze.
Is
that's
it?
Something Robert Shapiro said.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't drink, and I go to this place, and these guys in New York, I don't drink, guys, and handing me these, they call them shooters. You know what they are, probably Stryker.
Of course, Stryker knows.
No,
he spent the whole weekend with shooters.
Norm.
So they come around,
please.
I swear to God, they taste like candy. They're little tiny drinks. I'm like, I'll drink. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah,
and all
yeah,
of a sudden,
yeah.
I'm blind drunk. And I went back to my apartment. Thank God my buddy went with me. You know, I said, even if you meet a girl, like, you got to get, I don't even know where I am.
Right.
And I was lying, like, on my back on the bed.
And vomited.
And I could feel the vomit. And my motor skills, I could not move, turn my neck.
Yeah. That's bad.
So I had him, like, pull my hair.
Oh, yeah. Geez.
Thank God you brought a friend with you. That's why a lot of people have died.
Yeah, that's a friend, too, that moves your neck to be vomiting.
Yeah, he was nice.
That is good.
And then, like, my doorman at the apartment, like, wouldn't tell me for 3 days. I'm like, so what? I was drunk, right? And then it turned out like they thought I was gay because this kid was like 20.
He didn't take your kidney
and
or anything.
I was walking in with this young, handsome kid, like looking like Mick Jagger or something.
Let's talk to
but
Lisa.
But anyways, I was going to say about a heroin overdose.
Yeah.
So that means that if you do the right dosage of heroin, you would, I mean, maybe Keith Richards, you know, does the right dose, maybe as a doctor or something. And not that I've...
Well, no, the problem is that when you buy street drugs, you never know what the concentration of what you're getting is.
Oh, yeah.
And there's...
He'd get good stuff.
And even though they may be tolerant to the intoxicating effects of it, they're not tolerant to the respiratory suppressing effects.
Yeah.
So, Lisa.
In downtown on the corner of 6th, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
all right, Lisa
in
Phoenix,
25.
You're 25. What's going on?
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Lisa.
I wanted to know, if it's possible to tear your clitoris?
Norm?
Well, Norm recently had a pap smear. Did you ask the doctor that?
Yeah. Tear your clitoris?
Now, is this you tearing it or your boyfriend being very rough down there pulling it apart?
Or do you have a piercing and get caught on something?
No, it was actually when I was younger. I was masturbating.
With what, a stapler?
No.
What'd you do?
No, with my finger. I was, I guess, pulling on my clitoris and I heard something, not like snap, but
tear.
Make a noise, and, you know, ever since then, you know, as I've gotten older, it doesn't seem right. Like, right sensation. Sometimes when I get aroused, it's painful. And this is,
I doubt that has much to do with it. Of course, it's soft tissue, and you can tear it like any tissue. However, there's reports of women, like, having their clitorises removed in these weird cultures that do this stuff,
yeah.
And they still can have sexual functioning.
Really?
So, yeah, so it's a pretty hard area to damage to the point that affects your function.
One episode of masturbating probably is not causing one horrible episode, apparently, when she heard something snap at the clitoris. I've never heard that expression.
Snap.
No, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I heard something, you know, almost like a snap noise.
What were you doing?
Like when Joe Theismann heard his knee pop out.
But what
you
were
heard when your clitoris snapped
I need
out.
To know what you... I mean, I don't need to know,
well,
but I'm just
curious.
Well, I mean,
is it normally like... is your clitoris like a loop?
Is yours, Drew, is
a loop? Well, kind of a loop, so, you know, sort of. There's
a
hood.
Because now, I mean, it feels like... I don't even know how to explain it. Like there's, you know, two ends. Like it's not connected in the middle.
She should get that looked at. Like a snake's tongue?
No.
No?
Definitely have the doctor look at it. I doubt that you pulled the clitoris free of the nerve and blood supply, if that's what you're thinking.
I imagine it just dangling by one little thread.
Yeah, that's not what you did, okay?
Does it work?
Okay.
Does it work?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can still, you know, get off, but, you know, well, I can get myself off. I've only encountered one guy that could actually get me off.
That's not good.
That's weird. That's interesting. I heard, you know... Do you know why girls use these two fingers?
The first and second finger.
Yeah, he's holding up his index and third.
Use these two fingers to achieve the best climax.
Why?
Because they're mine.
That's good. Is there a special thing they do, those two?
No, I've never found
one. He doesn't
one.
Have his own CD coming out September 12th for nothing called Norm MacDonald Ridiculous.
I've never found a clitoris. I don't even think I could find a guy's testicles if I tried.
How about the young man that came to your apartment?
What?
Never mind.
You were drunk. He was drunk. Oh, Stryker, he was drunk.
Oh, that guy.
That guy. Yeah, the handsome 21-year-old. Chris, you're 23 on Loveline. Norm McDonald's here. What's up, Chris?
Hey, I was wondering, for Norm, is there any chance of you getting back on Family Guy as Death? I loved you over Norm, over Adam, actually.
I did Death, like, on that Family Guy cartoon. And then I couldn't do it. They wanted me to do it the second time, but I was doing stand-up, so they got the great Adam Carolla. You know that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I know how it is.
But have they asked you back or anything?
What's that?
Has Seth asked you back?
I don't know. No, I don't know. If he asked me, I'd do it, sure. I don't know. Have they done Death again? I don't know. Sure, I'd do it.
Adam's done it twice. I loved your character over his more.
Death hasn't been back lately on the show.
Yeah.
Not lately, no.
You can do what I do. I went over there and begged him to let me be a voice, and I got to Chris's dermatologist.
Oh, cool.
I was going to
cool.
ask you this actually tonight when I knew, because you've done the Dr. Dolittle movies, right?
Yeah.
Norm as voices.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask, I started thinking of the voices, and I knew that you did the Family Guy.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you were going to do that again, because I've been watching it more and more lately. Yes.
I think Stewie and I go broadcasting in an upcoming episode.
Yes.
I did. I don't think it got cut. I think it just hasn't aired yet.
Have you done The Simpsons?
No. That'd be fine.
I'm signing up.
Yeah. Let's go do it.
Yeah, if I do the show more.
Mike, by the way, huge mileage with my kids. I have 13-year-old triplets.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing I had to do was go do a voice for Robot Chicken, which was a big deal for them.
Oh, yeah.
Big deal for them.
Yeah, me too, with Family Guy. Yeah, the kids love Family Guy.
All right, let's grab Jordan before this break. Jordan, 15. Where are you, in Boise?
No, actually in Weezer.
In Weezer, okay. Out in Idaho. What's going on?
Well, I had a question for Norm and a question for you, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Okay, Norm, how do you come up with your material?
How do I come up with it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just,
sit and thinks about it.
How'd you come up with that question? The same way. You just think of stuff, and then you laugh, and then you do it, and then if you don't laugh, you don't do it.
Do you want to be a comedian?
I kind of already am.
Are you a male or female?
He's cracking me up.
You should know the answer, for God's sake.
I'm a dude, man.
How do you come up with your stuff?
I don't know, kind of in class. I mean,
how about give us your best original joke, or give us the best joke you know, and let's hear your delivery, but no bad words.
With no bad words. Can I think about it?
All right, what's your other question in the meantime?
Okay, for you, Dr. Drew. I play football and stuff.
Yeah.
And I got cleated down there, and I think
on your foot.
This is a bit right here in your first act. I got cleated in my nuts. Just say that line
nuts.
And say you're from Weezer, Idaho. You're fine.
Cleating your nuts, yeah.
And I think I popped my testicle.
Yeah, well, that's actually very, very serious. Why didn't you have that checked out?
Well, I kind of went to the doctor, and he didn't do anything.
Did it swell up?
No, not really, but it really hurts. And
still?
That was like a week ago.
Do you get erections normally?
Kind of.
All right. You probably didn't fracture it. But you can.
He probably did if he gets kind of erections.
Yeah.
No, because usually when you fracture it, it swells and the erection shuts down completely and for a little while anyway. And the problem with the fractured testicle, it dies. So you need to have what's called an ultrasound done on the testicle to see if it's intact.
Can they bring it back to life?
No.
Well, it's just things they can do sometimes.
I know baseball catchers get them crushed and have to get them removed.
Yeah, then they remove them if they're totally smushed. Ooh. But sometimes they just fracture and they kind of get them back going again. But...
Why? I know that people have explained this to me before, but I'm still shocked. Why on earth your testicles would be outside of your body? I know it's about cooling and sperm or something, but couldn't the body figure that out?
Maybe we need about 10 million more years of evolution. I'm sure we'll solve that.
Yeah,
but at this stage of evolution, we have a major, major problem.
Seems to be a crazy idea.
Crazy idea.
Would you rather have a vagina or a penis and testicles?
Well...
If you were reborn.
Let me put it this way. They always say, like, oh, the women's body is more beautiful and everything like that. Basically, that's the reason. I don't care. You can do whatever you want to get in shape. You can't get your sack looking good. You know what I mean?
You can trim down there a little bit.
And they got no reconstruction. Why aren't they doing surgery on that? And the people getting facelifts and everything like that. Meanwhile, you got a wrinkly sack going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the part of the wrinkle is called the D'Artos tunic.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Is that the bottom, like the bottom?
It's the D'Artustian ship.
Drew, as you get older, do the testicles...
gravity takes its toll,
just like women's breasts, our nuts are going sinking going lower and lower.
But they're grotesque in the first place, so it doesn't matter.
Nothing pleasant about them.
They're somewhat sensitive, though.
All right, let's take a break. I'm going to show Norm the D'Artustian tunic.
Norm MacDonald is here. You can get his CD coming out Tuesday, September 12th. You can also get it online at ComedyCentral.com. We're hanging with the man. He's got his Angels hat on. Drew is the birthday boy from yesterday. I'd be Stryker. And more of your calls in just a minute on Loveline. All right, we are back here on Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Stryker along with Dr. Drew. And Norm MacDonald is here.
Yeah, until I realize I'm being replaced as a guest.
Someone from the Food Network? What was that
new
about?
New ideas.
Norm, you're in, I'd say, one of my top five favorite movies of all time.
What movie would that be?
That'd be the one where you lounge around the pool and you're like, where's Billy?
Billy Madison, man. That's
the
Great Sandler movie.
That is one of the most quotable movies in my repertoire. And every time it's on, whether it's on the DirecTV or just the USA Network or TNN, whatever, I watch it every single time.
Don't you ever stop talking?
I don't know about that one. Every time I was in... in that movie, I had to play a drunk guy, right?
Right.
I can't act anyway. And plus, I drink almost never, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I don't know how to play a drunk. I'm going to sound like Foster Brooks or something. You know? I don't know how to do it. So I said...
But you and I are the only two people listening right now who knew Foster Brooks.
I was trying to think of a newer reference. You know, Jen... I don't know that goes. So I said, I don't know how to act drunk, so I'll just get drunk, you know? So I got drunk, and I was just drunk the whole time.
Where's Billy? God. Billy's in the pool, I think, getting beat up by his girlfriend.
Yeah.
You're passed out. It's a good movie, man. Should we take some calls? Let's get some of these people on who have been waiting for a second here. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. Norm is here, and Gina, San Francisco. What's going on? You're on Loveline.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
So good. First off, I want to say I absolutely love Norm MacDonald. You are awesome.
Thank you, Gina.
And I've had a crush on you for a really long time.
Good Lord. It's a little unseemly for this type of program.
What's that?
Nothing. I was just kidding. That's very flattering.
Thank you. You have a very sexy voice.
Wow. She keeps going. Engaging.
Hey, anytime. San Francisco, baby. But anyhow.
If you're not a 21-year-old boy in New York, he ain't coming with you.
What are you trying?
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just kidding. Gina, he looks really good tonight, too. He's got kind of that 5 o'clock shadow beard going on.
Comfortable hat on.
Very comfortable hat, a sweatshirt. He's drinking his coffee. He's kind of, it looks like he's doing a commercial for Folgers or something.
Worst phone sex ever.
So what's up, my dear?
They're outsourcing the phone sex now. You ever phone, you get them Indian ladies?
Oh.
I would be happy to do something to your penis if you would tell me what to do, sir.
So my question, and maybe Norm could give me some advice on this, and you could reinforce it, perhaps. But,
is it about sex?
Yeah.
All right. Bring it on.
Okay. Well, there's a gentleman that I kind of see. I really like him, but he won't go downtown, if you know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying.
You know
a lot of the listeners probably don't understand such a veiled reference, but...
Why won't he?
I require this.
What is why does he not like it?
I asked him, and he said it was texture. And, you know, that's A-okay, but he's, like, you know, a few years older than me.
That's
like
a reason not to eat eggplant. That's not a reason...
Or peanut butter.
Yeah, it's not a reason not to help your girlfriend.
But the question is, do you go down on him?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell him, look, dude, I'm done doing that unless you reciprocate and get in the ball game downtown there.
Because I kind of like it.
But why, what's your boyfriend's name, Gina?
Well, John Lovitz.
Was that?
Now, why should he? Maybe he finds it disgusting.
Oh, nice.
Well, that's what kind of...
Well, I mean, it's certainly not a natural thing to do, is it?
What?
It's a made-up thing. Somebody made it up.
Well, it's been made up for a while, don't you think?
Well, but it's not intercourse. So, like, what if he wanted anal sex from you?
Let me explain myself a little bit more because clearly I don't
have a point. She's down for everything, I think.
More of a freak than he is. Like, I like everything, anywhere, everywhere.
Oh, I got you.
Still like me?
Yeah, my God. First time I have.
Regina, here's
are
the deal.
Are you married, Norm, by the way? Anyways.
Gina. Calm down, but, okay. Hey, Gina. Slow down.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Gina,
hold on one second.
Down.
Hold on.
Slow down.
Go ahead, Drew.
Manicky.
Go ahead, Drew.
Stryker gave me the answer a while ago. I know you like going down on him, but you actually can coerce him by saying, okay, you don't want to do this? I don't want to do that. That's it. You know, you have the power. And if he won't do this, it's only really a relationship. What?
Are
you still talking? Oh, Gina, quiet, will you? It's only a real relationship when there's mutuality, when, you know, there's sometimes you have to do something you don't want to do, but it makes the other person happy, and sometimes they got to do something for you.
But however, Dr. Drew, would you extend that to, like, analingus?
There are, you know, everybody's got their limits, and this guy's maybe had his limits.
Yeah.
And the fact is, but that may be a deal breaker for the relationship for her. They need to really explore this. I mean, he has to be very clear. She has to be very clear that this is critically important to her.
Yeah.
And it's a little different. Analingus, that's doesn't, you know, for many women, they are only going to have an orgasm with oral sex. That's a common thing.
Mm.
And so
by receiving the oral sex.
Well, if the guy, first of all, Gina, if the guy doesn't like doing that thing you were saying, high likelihood he's gay.
Oh, he's not gay.
I'd say probably 90, maybe 80-90%.
Like, I had a lot of experience with gay men. Like, my best friend all growing up was gay. And, like, I have pretty radar, if I do say so myself. And he is definitely not gay.
All right. Like,
well, maybe you should work on the texture of your vagina.
Oh.
I mean,
we should go from, like, what, abalone to conch?
Down there, but
I mean,
what
are we doing here?
What was that last thing?
Any part of me.
Don't you ever stop talking?
Now, I've heard a lot of guys don't like doing that because they feel it emasculates them or something. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard that. And there's certain sort of ethnicities that are really not into it. Really.
I heard black guys.
Yeah, even Jamaican guys are really something.
Yeah, the Jamaican.
Yeah.
They're black, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they're Jamaican, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But whether you like it or not, you are doing it to please your partner because she is doing something to you to please you.
Right,
yes. Yes. And if it's making her happy, bite the goddamn bullet and do it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for 5 minutes.
Well, you shouldn't bite. I don't think you should bite.
No, no.
That's just being passive aggressive and she won't want to do it again.
Take the bullet.
Counterclockwise swirl with your tongue will be fine.
Is that what the play is?
I think. Or just do the alphabet with your tongue. That's what some lady told me a long time ago.
Well, they love the Q. I know that.
Yeah. Heather in Moreno Valley, you're 21, on with Norm MacDonald here. What's going on?
Hey, first of all, the alphabet with the tongue is best bet.
Ah.
Well, Norm zeroed in on one letter. I think he's probably right. He said Q. Just stay with Q.
Second of all, Billy Madison is the best movie of all time.
This lady's agreeing with two things.
I wanted to know, how did you come about meeting Adam Sandler?
I worked on Saturday Night Live with him, but before that I did stand-up with him, and he helped me get on the show. So he's a real sweet guy.
Yeah.
He's a very generous man.
You like doing movies? How many movies have you done with him?
Just that one. That's the one.
Just that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Second of all, Strecker, how do I get your job?
Let's see. What do you look like?
Oh,
just kidding.
Hot.
No, I'm just kidding. Come by sometime. You can hang out in here.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sure that will happen.
You live out there in the 909. You're not that far.
Yeah, not that far at all.
All right. Well,
I love your job. I got to tell you that.
Oh.
You guys are awesome, and Stryker, you're hot.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You got any sexual...
She
got it? Do you have any sexual dysfunctions?
Not at all. Not at all.
What the hell?
She was just calling to say kudos to you.
That's a dysfunction.
Was that?
I said I love sex. If that's a dysfunction.
Yeah, it is. You should love children and puppy dogs.
No.
You should just need sex.
21, no children for me.
Good for you.
Yes, good girl.
All right, thanks for calling, Heather.
All right, bye.
All right, we'll see you later. Let's talk to another caller from Idaho. Jennifer, you're 15. What's going on?
Yeah. I have been with my boyfriend for...
15.
Was that a smoke alarm? Jennifer.
Yeah.
You hear that beeping in the background?
I know. This girl's smoking.
No.
Oh, what?
It's that she's living with a smoke alarm chirping in the background of her bedroom.
Yeah, something's wrong with our...
It needs a battery.
Something's wrong with that roaring fire in your bedroom.
Quiet. Let's listen for a second here. This is going to go off in a second. Here we go. About 5 seconds here. There we go. Well done. Okay? Jennifer, go get a 9-volt battery and change it, for God's sakes. Your head will explode if you keep living with that thing.
How long has a battery been dead?
I don't know. I've been doing that for a week, and I don't know nothing about that.
What do you guess the question has to do with what happened with that 9-volt battery?
I don't know.
She don't know nothing about no batteries.
So what's the deal?
I just moved back in with my mom like a week ago.
All right. Well, your mom should
Were you at 15, not with your mom? Were you with your dad?
No. I was living with my boyfriend out in Oregon with his parents.
That is not cool.
How old's the boyfriend?
He just turned 19.
Where'd you meet him?
At like a movie dance kind of deal, kind of thing, something weird like
and
that.
And what did he do, and what was going on with you in Idaho that you picked up your stuff at 14, 15 years old and went to Oregon?
What's up with your mom? Is she allowed that to happen?
Actually, I was around like 12 or 13.
What the hell? How'd your mom let that happen?
I don't know. My mom is kind of weird.
Where's your dad?
I have no idea.
Oh, so this 19-year-old must have been a piece of work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've been together for about 3.5 years now.
And what's your question?
Well, my question is that we started being sexually active about 1.5 years ago.
When you were 14. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
13.5.
Don't have kids, for God's sakes. Do not have kids, Jennifer. How old was your mom when she had kids?
She was 15 when she had me.
Jennifer, do not do that.
I know.
All right. Birth control.
Does she already have a kid?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I have no kids.
Are you on birth control? Does he wear a condom every time?
Yeah.
All right.
I have 9 siblings. I don't need no
kids.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
I cannot concentrate because I'm hearing a smoke alarm chirp, and now I'm anticipating it.
I'll go outside. I'm sorry.
No. Go, like, Jennifer, let's get to the bottom of this. What's the question?
So about a week ago, he's decided that, you know, he doesn't want to have any more sex until we get married. Like, no sex. Like, he doesn't even really want me to touch him. And I've tried to break up with him because, like, he doesn't even want me to, like, hold his hand or anything. And we live together.
Why would you want to break up with him just because he's trying to sort of do something special for your wedding?
No, like, he doesn't want me to touch him, even. Like, he won't even kiss me or anything.
Is he on medication?
Is he on medication? Him or me?
He.
No,
both
he's
you,
not on anything.
What are you on?
I'm not on anything. I'm supposed to be on Ritalin, but I'm not.
All right. And he's not doing drugs?
No. And, like, he doesn't want me to touch him or anything, and I tried to break up with him because I figured that might be what he wants, and, like, he cried.
What do you say the reason he doesn't want you to touch him is?
He won't tell me a reason. He's like, because I just don't want you to.
Maybe because he's 19 and he's realizing you're only 15, and A, you could go to jail for that, and B, maybe he just doesn't really want to see you anymore. Even though you tried to break up with him and he was fake the crime, what do you think, Drew?
I just worry that he is actually still doing drugs, or there's something psychiatric going on here. It's just a weird, not allowed touching. 19 is when major psychiatric illness usually emerges that age, in the early 20s, 19 to 18, 19.
So do you think I should, like, stick it out or what?
You've been this guy a long time. You really like him. You need to find out what's going on. Figure it out, okay? Then make a decision what you're going to do with it. But there's more information to be had here.
Okay,
find out if he's doing drugs. That'd be my first couple.
Actually, first go to the Long's drugstore out there and get a battery.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah. Shouldn't you go to high school and stuff?
Yeah, what about school?
I go to school part-time and work the other.
Right. You can go to high school part-time. I wish they had that when I went. That would have been so fun.
They had that when I went.
They did. And look where it got you. Sitting here eating alone.
We got a break.
Eating a straw. All right, we got a break.
Yeah.
All right, Drew?
Yeah.
You don't like that?
I need to blow my nose.
No, all right, go blow your nose. Norm McDonald's here hanging out. He's got a CD coming out September 12th called Norm McDonald, .Ridiculous. You can get it at ComedyCentral.com or at the local store when it comes out on the 12th. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a minute on Loveline. So if you live in L.A., you know about this. We have the highest rate, I'm sure, of high-speed chases. They happen, it seems, at least 3 times a week. There's one on TV.
Yeah.
And every news channel covers it. The helicopters are following it. Not only the police helicopter, but every local news station has a helicopter following it. and it is probably one of my most favorite things to watch on TV. And Drew, in the room we sit in right now, we're going to be moving studios soon, Drew has an angle of a TV in a different studio, which is angled perfectly towards him. He's like, yeah, there's a high-speed chase on. And I'm looking.
Like, oh, no, I have to watch.
I'm going to watch. It is my most favorite thing to watch. It is crazy. I know it's sick to do that. And if I have to leave the house, I TiVo it.
Nice. I go back and watch the end of it.
And I make sure not to watch any news so I don't see any highlights. I want to find out how it ends when I go home and watch TiVo. You look through the glass, Norm, on TV. You ever watch those things?
Oh, yeah. They had this great thing. I couldn't find it, but it was a like a pager.
Yeah.
And it would alert you whenever there was a car chase on TV.
Oh, for gosh sakes.
Isn't that perfect?
Is fantastic.
You need one, Stryker.
Yes, I do. Need one of those. Hey, it's Love Line, by the way. I'm Stryker. We got Dr. Drew here and Norm MacDonald. Just wandered back in. The car chase is going on. It looks like a red, looks like a Pinto or something like that, or a Jetta. But they're going fast. I wish, if my TV is on channel 9 at home right now, nah, I won't be TV.
That guy's getting away, I can tell.
You think so? And I don't think he's getting away in that car. Do you remember when a guy stole a bus? In town?
Oh,
and he was going crazy out here. It's going bananas.
Yeah.
All right.
I see that. I just think speed every time. Methamphetamine. That's a speed
move. It's got to be, right?
Yeah, it's a crank move.
I thought you meant speed with the guy with the bus.
No. Oh, yeah.
Under 55 miles an hour,
yeah.
The bus will explode.
Yeah. That guy had a reason.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Before I left the house today, a fantastic movie was on, but the actors in it always get made fun of, yet this movie, I've seen it 80 times. I'll name people in the movie. Let's see if you guys can figure out the movie.
Die Hard.
All right.
Keanu Reeves is in it.
Oh,
Bill and Ted.
No. Gary Busey. Patrick Swayze. Surfing. I am an FBI agent! Point Break.
Oh.
Norm doesn't watch movies. Gil, give me a nod on that. Thumbs up.
I've not seen it.
You have not seen it.
No, but I hear it's a good film.
Great film, man.
Yeah.
Norm, no?
No, but I'm going to go watch it.
No, you're not.
Sure, that's a hidden gem.
I'm sending you Revenge of the Nerds and Point Break on DVD.
Yeah, no, I love when people tell me movies that I've never heard that are good.
They're classics.
I saw a really funny movie that Dave Foley made called The Wrong Guy that I saw in the video store. It was hysterical.
The Wrong, all right.
Yeah.
Well, you can give me that, and I'll give you those.
Okay.
Christy cool. 18.
All right, let's talk to the girl in Arizona. What's up, Christy?
Not much. I was just wondering if I could get some advice from you guys.
Here we go.
All right. So I have, like, a really bad gag reflex.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad because every time I, like, you know, I'm you know, pleasing my partner there, I always, like, have to pull, like, back right as he's about to, you know, finish up, I guess.
He's fine.
But I feel really bad. So is there, like, any advice on, like, what I can do to maybe, like, get it to not kick in so much?
I don't know about how to fix your gag reflex, Christy.
But she's pulling it off.
But yeah, hold on. You're getting the job done.
Yeah.
And B, you're in the area. And he's happy that your mouth is within 2 inches of his penis,
yeah,
but your mouth is actually on the penis and getting it done.
Yeah, yeah.
Kudos to you, Christy.
Yeah. I like it when it's 2 inches from it.
And, like,
if someone is... What's
do you guys
that?
Have any, like, advice of, like, what do you guys like? Because, I mean, I'm only 18, you know. I don't have a whole lot of experience. And he's
just calm down, Chrissy. Relax.
No,
your
I like
your boyfriend's happy. Calm down.
Norm, she wants to know, how do you like it?
Is your boyfriend, like, endowed, like, big? Is he big? Does he have a big whatever you want to call him? You know what I'm asking.
In my experience, he's pretty average with the typical guys that I've been screwing, I guess.
Christy went to finishing school out here in California.
You were so polite in the beginning. I go down to my partner. Hey, he's advertising for all the boys I'm screwing in Arizona.
Well, Dr. Drew would know the statistics on this. Like, let's say the average, I'm just going by myself. What's the average? Like 9.5? Like, an average-sized penis, would the average woman gag on that or be able
to? No, this is, it really is an issue of person, that individual's gag response. And, yes, some people, if anything passes their teeth, even like a toothbrush, they'll gag. And this is not her. She's actually pretty good. She gags when there's something disgusting.
When the semen is coming out.
Yeah, emitted into her mouth. I mean, that sounds gaggy to most people. Yeah.
Oh, is that what she's saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, she right when he's about to go, she starts to gag.
Is that what you were saying? That's
yeah,
not what she was saying.
Pretty much. That's what happens. Like every time, and I feel
yeah.
bad.
And I'm
no,
telling-
I can't even chew the gum that goes squirt. So I can completely
yeah, yeah.
relate. You know.
And that's what I'm saying, Christy. Relax. He's very happy. It's fine. You're fine. You're good. Okay.
And aren't like sperm like live animals?
Yes. It's they
like,
have them at the L.A. Zoo
It's
here.
Like swallowing goldfish, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Katiana in Sacramento. You're 19. What's up?
Hello.
Goldfish. Do you win them if you throw ping pongs into a bowl? We're going to give you sperm.
You just convince your girlfriend it's a college prank.
Then we're going to pile into a phone booth afterwards.
What's up, girl?
Okay. So I had a question. I have some very strange fantasies about putting a strap on and doing my boyfriend from behind.
Nice.
And he has the exact same fantasy?
Same finishing school as our last caller.
I just need to know if this is completely inappropriate or...
For some couples it is. For some, they do this. I mean,
do you mean the fantasy or actually carrying out the act?
Yeah, it's a little aggressive. And
I
whatever.
I want to perform it with my boyfriend, but I don't know if he says okay. Does that mean he's gay or no?
No, it does not mean he's gay.
No?
Okay? No.
Some men can actually have pleasure from that and not be...
Some. Not many, but some. Yeah,
don't a lot of guys, like when they're having sex, the girl puts their finger up the guy's...
Not a lot of guys, but some.
Well, hold on a second. The prostate.
Prostate gives
you a sexual feeling.
I stimulate that gland all day long in my office trying to check people for prostate uh-huh. cancer. They don't find it pleasurable.
I use that
but
with patients.
They ejaculate.
No. Yeah, but it's not sexual. It's not sexual.
Oh, is that true?
No,
because I was asking a cop, I was saying, like, what happens, like, they ask for sperm samples. What if the guy goes, hey, I'm not going to masturbate? They said we put a thing up his rectum or whatever the clean word is, and it vibrates and it causes the ejaculation.
But that's getting to the seminal vesicles and stuff. That's not even the prostate.
But if that's true, wouldn't we all be driving around with those in our asses all day?
We gotta take a break. We'll talk about this off.
Let's talk about strap-ons and sticking things up the anus to make ourselves ejaculate in just a minute with Norm MacDonald. Lovely Norm MacDonald and your calls in just a minute on Loveline. We'll be back. Welcome back to Loveline. We got about an hour to go. I'm Stryker. We got Dr. Drew and Norm MacDonald is here. And if you've been watching ESPN lately, well, they show dominoes on there. They got the World Series of Darts. They had a paintball tournament on recently. And and for years now, ever since the Welcome Back Cotter guy, they've had the World Series of Poker on from Las Vegas. And today, in the World Series main event has already ended, but they're now showing... what went down in the main event, and it's I watch it every time it's on. It's on once a week till they get to the final table, and we'll find out who the winner is, even though we already know who the winner is, but I still watch. But day four of the tournament was on this afternoon, and I was talking to Norm, and you were in the main event this year.
Yeah.
That started with how many players?
8,800
players. Wow. And the winner gets $12 million?
Yeah, $12 million. Yeah.
And tell us about your experience, because I'm a huge poker fan. I'm not a good poker player because I don't play, but I like to watch it on TV.
Yeah. I did good. I mean, I was massive chip leader halfway through day one.
Isn't that amazing, Drew? Out of 88, he was the chip leader halfway through day one. Wow. So what went wrong?
You start with 10,000, right. And I had 68,000
wow.
4 hours into it.
So why didn't you just go up to the room and let your money sit there so you can make it through to a couple of days?
Because, well, there's two ways of playing. You can play to make it into the money,
mm-hmm.
or you can play to win the entire thing. And I always try to win the entire thing.
If you guys,
like my dad, when I was a kid, he would always say, you must win. Like, I remember I was a good hockey player, and we play hockey, and I come back, and I go, like, you know, we won 4-1, and he'd go, no, you lost 1-0. You allowed a goal.
Right.
So I always want to, you know, if you don't win it, there's only one winner.
There's only one winner who gets $12 million, but up to player number, which I'm not sure it is, it's an unbelievable payday.
No, it's not an unbelievable payday.
It's $1 million if you're in the top 12, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, if you make the final table. It's
if you make the final, everyone that's in the final table, Drew, gets $1 million.
Yeah.
Million.
Hmm. Yeah.
So what day did you eventually get knocked out, and did anyone famous or big knock you out?
I got knocked out by the dinner break of day one.
Oh, you did. So you had 60-some thousand chips.
You must have been going in all the time.
Yeah, I was nakedly aggressive.
Yeah.
And then a guy made a dumb move, and I got crippled.
Did you lose on the river, or when you flopped him over, you were done?
I was very, very, very aggressive.
Okay.
And so the good thing about being very, very aggressive is then when you hit a premium hand, you get paid off big.
Right.
So I raised almost every pot. And finally, they were tired of it, and a guy with a lot of chips moved all in on me. Pushed all his chips in.
Right.
You know, and he had like 40,000. He was third in chips. He happened to be at my table, and I had aces. And he called with Jack Queen, and he beat me.
How did he beat you? What did he end up? What did they flop
two
over?
Two pair.
He had two aces.
I once had I was playing one of these tournaments for fun, and at you know, one of celebrity poker things. They had three nines up, and I had a pair. So you pretty much have to go all in, right?
Sure, because you have a full house now.
So, yeah, except somebody started betting against me. I thought, oh, my God, he's got the fourth nine.
No.
Yes.
You had it?
Yes.
I rarely see that happen, except I did see it on day one when I was watching the tournament.
Yeah.
Someone had four of a kind.
Yeah.
Did you play against Greg Raymer or Moneymaker or Chan or any of these guys? Were any of them at your table?
I played against Hasham.
Joseph Hasham?
He's the world champion.
Yeah.
I played against him, but not in the main event, in a preliminary event.
How many of the events did you play in? Because the World Series of Poker is a series of events leading up to the main event, which is the big payday.
Yeah, exactly.
How many did you enter?
21.
And were those all Texas Hold'em?
No.
Did you get
Hold'em
in the money?
Hold'em is my least favorite player.
What's that?
I said Hold'em is my least favorite game.
Oh, it is.
But that's virtually all they play now.
What's your favorite card game?
This is so boring. 7-card stud, 8 or better.
All right. No, that's not boring.
Yeah.
A lot of it's not getting these high ratings for nothing on there. My favorite card game is War.
War?
I kick ass at War.
You know what's funny? They had this movie called Vegas Vacation. You remember that movie?
Of course, yes.
And Chevy goes to the crazy casino that has retarded games.
Right.
And one of them is War.
Yeah.
And now they have War.
Yep.
They do?
Yeah, they do, Drew.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's the craziest.
It's basically, funny. It's 50-50.
How do you bet it?
You just, you put $25 out, they give you a card. $5. Do whatever you want, I'm just saying. Like, if you're down $100 and you're just like, all right, 50-50, $100 right now on War. They give you a card. The dealer flips over a card.
Oh, my God, that's hysterical.
Just
it's
like
for
that.
People who can't stand the slow place of blackjack.
Exactly. Also known as a slow pace.
Slow pace.
Let's talk to Sarah in Pasadena, 17 on Love Line with Norm MacDonald. What's up, Sarah?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Sarah.
I just got to say I love the show. Drew, I've been listening for a long time. And Norm, you were the best host of Weekend Update ever.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
And Strike, you're pretty cool, too.
Thank you very much.
My question basically is I'm trying to get sober and having a hard time at it.
What drug?
Basically anything. My drug of choice is probably pot, but I'll just do anything I have.
Okay. Have you been in a 12-step program?
I'm going to meetings, and I have the book, and I'm trying to get all the information I can.
Get a sponsor.
Mm-hmm. I will soon, I think. But
okay. Well, no sponsor, no treatment. So not having a sponsor, you're just treading water.
Okay.
And if you can't stay sober, if you literally, you know, biologically are unable to withstand the drives, then you need to go inpatient somewhere.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I've never heard of a person who does every drug, but their drug of choice is marijuana.
Oh, it happens all the time. The marijuana addicts love pot. They would what happens with pot, it affects everybody the same in terms of when it becomes addictive. And it doesn't become addictive for everybody. But when it does, it's immediate. In other words, the first couple times people smoke pot, they usually don't get high. But the first time they get high, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing ever happened to me. And that's all they think about from then on. And they'll use every single day, or at least think about using every day. And somewhere down the line, it may be years down the line, it stops working. And they get depressed, they get irritable, they have trouble functioning. So they smoke a lot more, and that accelerates the decline. And then they switch to something else. But if the pot had kept working, I've never met a marijuana addict that wouldn't wish that they could get what they did always out of the pot.
No, but she's saying she does all the drugs.
Yeah, but still, honestly, that's
really?
The one, when people are really addicted to pot, that's the one they miss the most usually.
Wow.
It is very highly euphoric for some people.
Wow.
It's very much, and the withdrawal is very much like heroin.
Or what?
Very much like heroin, the withdrawal. When it affects that system that way, it has clearly an endorphin effect in some people.
Wow.
If somebody smokes for years, Drew, let's say 15, 20 years, from their 15 to their 30, and at 30, they finally realize, what the hell am I doing? I'm smoking every day, but I'm holding a decent job.
Yeah,
and they get the help that they need.
Right.
What are the effects from 30 years old on if they stop at 30?
They can completely be fine.
Oh, you can?
They'll get depressed typically when they stop, very depressed for about 6 months.
But they can recover
it'll
from
recover,
that?
Yeah,
really?
Recover, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pot is one of the drugs that doesn't leave residual damage, we don't think. But it certainly has a profound effect on the brain.
Right. Sarah, do you have
this
any last questions
this
for the doctor?
This is what I always thought of. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I just wanted to see if Sarah has one last thing. Sarah?
No, I think that's it. Just
go to the moment again. Get inpatient if you can't manage it with the. There's a program called Action out there. You might keep that in mind. Pass him. Okay.
I was just going to ask about marijuana. I always thought that a really good campaign against marijuana, because people don't believe that it's so dangerous, with the scare tactics, they don't believe it because that reefer madness stuff.
Right.
Is just to tell them it causes cancer.
We don't know that it does.
Oh, you don't?
No, it causes chronic bronchitis. It may cause cancer, but we don't know. Yeah.
But,
can't
well,
they lie?
You don't, really?
It really, not really clearly
but, I mean,
causational.
Doesn't tar cause cancer?
Yeah, but there's not the same kind of carcinogens in there that there are in cigarettes.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
It causes airway damage, causes bronchitis, and maybe even emphysema, maybe. But not can't say for sure cancer.
Does it cause laziness?
Oh, well, not laziness. Here's the deal. It actually blocks the mechanism, neurological mechanism, of going from a thought or an intention to an action. So marijuana acts have tons of great ideas. They just never become mobile with them. They never actualize them. And that's where the pot blocks.
Hey, Blaine in Washington. What's up, man? You're 17.
Hey, I had a question about getting circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
Norm, this is for you. Go ahead, Blaine.
Another penis question.
Well, circumcision, I don't understand at all.
No, he wants to get the D'Artos tunic flattened out, ironed out, but he's not really into the circumcision. What's up? What's Blaine? What's the question?
Well, like when I have sex without a condom, I know that's bad, but when I do, it kind of hurts, and it's torn once, and I just want to kind of get rid of it, and then I won't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's what happens, is you can get tearing and then narrowing, stricturing of the tip. I think it's called phimosis in that case, and it painful when you try to pull it out again, and that's an indication for circumcision. I'm showing Norm some pictures of that here.
And if he's 17 and this is going on.
Yeah, it's going to get worse as you get older. And so,
but
yeah.
it was always my understanding that circumcision was strictly a religious thing. And
No, to stop people from masturbating.
And
No.
Well, Dr. Drew, come on. How could a person be born with not perfectly.
True.
Born not perfectly?
Yeah, how could a person be born and instantly need an operation?
Oh, not instantly. Not everyone needs it, like anything else. I mean, some people have an appendix and they keep it their whole life.
No, but I'm saying...
But you don't have
doctors constantly circumcise
children.
We
do it. Well,
babies.
Yeah, it's, we're the only
is
country...
Is it because of cleanliness and all that?
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass, but we're the only country
money.
That does it.
It's money, right?
It's probably cost $30. I mean, it's like nothing. I mean, it's
$30.
And by the way, HMO. Remember HMOs.
To get a circumcision.
Remember HMOs are.
What kind of doctor are you going for that?
No, I mean, when they do it as part of the. I mean,
Chinese
remember HMOs.
Guy, Dad.
You remember something? HMO. Everything's already included.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The less they do, the more money the doctor makes. So doctors aren't interested in doing more. They're just doing less. The way the whole system works now, so there's no motivation to do more. The fact is there's less HPV, less cervical cancer in partners, less transmission of HIV. There's all these infectious disease reasons that I begin to advocate on behalf of it now. And this kind of business happens a lot.
But they're just finding this out now?
Yeah. I mean,
then why have they been circumcising people for years?
Started as a religious thing, for sure.
That's what I thought.
Blaine, have you talked to your parents about this, or is this embarrassing to bring it up at the dinner table?
If God told us.
Well, it's quite often a topic at the dinner table over meatloaf, but...
Over the band or the food?
Both, actually.
All right, smart guy.
No,
I like him.
I don't know. I don't have the heart to tell him.
Well, then go talk to your doctor.
Yeah, just go on your own to the doctor.
Is there any way you can just have unprotected sex?
What?
No, is there any safe way to have that? I guess not, huh?
That's when it hurts. That's when he has the pain.
What?
Yeah, with the condom on, it doesn't pull it back or anything.
Right, see?
Oh, you wear a condom.
Well,
that's what you're supposed to do anyway. Dr. Drew said that.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, it's just been
So you're going to get circumcised so that you can get an STD. That seems insane.
I didn't plan on doing that. I just don't want it to hurt. Later.
It's going to really be a problem with these guys.
Yeah, and Blaine, I'm not going to tell you what to do about anything, but dude, you got to wear a condom because before you know it, you're going to be with a girl even if she's 17 or 18, and if you get herpes at 17, man, it's not going to be a good day for you.
But ultimately, if he's starting to stenose now, he's going to need this to be done.
Yeah. Look, awkward, uncomfortable sex is better than none. That's what I always say.
As awkward, uncomfortable experiences go, it's amongst the best.
Exactly.
Drew, what are you looking for in this book right now?
Oh, here's a penis out of an arm.
Penis? Oh, to make it bigger.
No, but I'm looking for a repair of that.
All right, let's talk to Stephanie here.
I can't find it.
Drew, if you said it costs $30, if $30, I'm going to chop off your skin, huh? A couple hundred?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
But what kind of pain is this dude going to be in at 17?
2 weeks, uncomfortable.
How is, like, no school uncomfortable or?
A couple days of, uncomfortable, and then 2 weeks of no use uncomfortable.
Man, get it done, man. Stephanie, you're on Loveline, 18 years old. What's up?
Hi. Well, I just wanted some advice from you guys.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm 18, like in April I was 18, and I've been kind of seeing this guy. Actually, no, I've been dating him for like a year and a half, and he's a little bit older than me, kind of like 11 years.
How long have you been dating him?
What?
How long have you been dating him?
Like a year and a half.
Since you were 16?
Oh, like 16 and a half, yeah.
16 and he was 27?
Don't tell us where you work, what kind of business are you in, where you met this guy who you're dating, and was he your manager?
This criminal. Was he a restaurant manager?
No. Like, it wasn't... Like,
did he just get arrested for the John Bonet case?
Yeah. Well,
no.
That guy looks like the guy from Psycho, doesn't he?
A little bit.
Norman Bates. He wears his pants up to his boobs.
Oh, that's, a gremlin.
No, but we did... like, we did have a thing, like, some anonymous person sent my parents a letter, like, describing everything, and, like...
Good.
Like, he got in trouble, and, I mean, like,
good.
You know... The police got in trouble, like, they got him, you know, but nothing happened. Like, I don't know what happened, but he didn't go to jail, like...
What kind of place is this? Is he your restaurant manager?
Oh, no, he was just, a regular employee.
Where at?
He wasn't a manager.
What kind of employment? What kind of business?
It's just, like, a pizza place, just...
A restaurant, all right.
Yeah, just
and he
a
was
restaurant.
Just, and he was just a server there?
Yeah, yeah.
A 27-year-old server.
Yeah. Are you still seeing this guy after the police got involved and after someone sent your parents a note? You're still hanging out with him, right?
Yeah.
The parents, your parents don't know this, do they?
No, they do.
Oh, they do.
I
What is your question, Stephanie? We're talking all around this. What's the question?
I know. The question is, sometimes I find myself thinking, what the hell am I doing?
What the hell are you doing?
I know, and it's just such a comfort thing. Like, I can't get out, and I don't know what to do.
Do you feel... so poorly about yourself that you don't feel that you're worth someone your own age or a peer?
I went to an all-girls school, I don't know, I had really low self-esteem when I was little.
Why?
Because I wasn't, the popular girl, you know,
No, what was happening at home?
Well, I don't know, my parents got divorced when I was, in fourth grade, and...
That'll affect you. What's your relationship with your dad been like since?
Oh, not, good, but not good, Yeah. We haven't had our good times.
All right. And so this is some sort of compulsion of, remnant of that.
Yeah.
Let's stop it. Let's stop. All right. This is not good for you. There's a reason people recoil when they hear this. There's a reason when people worry about you when they hear about it. It's to protect you.
I know.
Because this is what I always tell women that do this. When you're 27 and you look around at your male peers and you think about one of your 27-year-old friends dating a 17-year-old, you will retch. You will retch. You would have the guy arrested personally. That's the loser you're dating.
And you're dating a guy that's not even the manager at a pizza place at 29 years old. If he's the manager, I give him a little smidgen of credit. He's not even the manager.
Yeah.
So what do you... Follow Drew's advice, please, but it's so much easier said than done. Is there someone that she can talk to help to convince her how crazy and...
Well, if you want a therapist that can help you sort of negotiate all this, you should.
Well, I've had my therapist, but, they don't... tell me. They just, talk around. They can't...
All right, I'm telling you. You talk to the therapist how to deal with it.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
All right. Thank you.
At least her parents know about it.
Yeah, mom knows about it, I think, is what the reality is. She can't control this out of control. The 18-year-old, she feels guilty because of the divorce, and it's a bad situation.
You got a lady right now?
No.
You looking for one?
Nah.
Hollywood Boulevard.
I find sex kind of dull.
Really?
Well, I'm old.
You're not old.
Yeah, man, I'm 43 years old.
Are you?
Yeah.
You look a lot younger than that. I thought you were 42.
I got white hair.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Are you growing that out for a role? You have kind of the beard going?
No, I'm the opposite. I grow it out until I get a role.
Yeah. All right.
There's no reason to shave if you don't have to go on the TV.
I can't grow a beard. I can grow just a chin thing right here. Drew, you ever grow out the facial hair?
Mm-mm.
How often do you shave? Every single day, mm-hmm. huh? Because you are the most clean-shaven man I've ever seen every single day. Let me feel it. God, you got soft skin.
Mm.
What kind of soap do you use?
I don't even know.
Yeah, you do.
Oh,
all right. Yeah.
Irish Spring.
Norm Macdonald has a CD. It's called Ridiculous. It comes out September 12th. He's been working on this CD for 9 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
How does it take so long to do this?
I just wanted to do it exactly right.
Right. And then finally you said, all right.
It actually deals with a lot of sexual issues in it.
Let's look at some of the topics.
Domestic violence.
Right. Yeah. You got Will Ferrell on it.
Homosexuality.
Yeah.
Girls, girls, girls.
Yes.
That's also the name of a Motley Crue song, I believe.
World's first two gay guys?
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Who were they?
I think one guy's name was Herb Delaney. It was back in the 50s.
First two ever.
Yeah.
No gay guys in the...
No one in the army?
It actually came from my dad. I was talking to my dad once, and he said there were no gay guys when I was young. It started in the 50s. That was his theory.
You tell him he was crazy?
I didn't know. I was only 10.
Who were they? Who were the two guys?
It was funny, you know, when I was a child, I watch now the Game Show Network with my kid. And it was the same game shows I watched when I was a kid.
Match Game.
Yeah, Match
Game. Password.
And so they would have, like, you know, so you
Gene
have
Paul
Lynde and Charles Nelson Reilly, which were flamboyant gay guys. But when I was a child, I just thought they were funny characters. I had no idea, you know.
Well, gay does mean funny if you look at it, doesn't it, in the dictionary? No, it means joyous.
But these guys were just characters.
Yeah, they were
comedians.
Big, giant characters, yeah. And I just thought they were hysterical.
What do you think of Charles Nelson Reilly's outfits when you watch the old reruns now?
Well, now when I see the reruns, they make, like, veiled references, like, that he's gay. You know, like, inside jokes that I think people even at the time probably didn't... I think in the old days, they didn't think it existed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like all those old ladies,
that was
like,
70s.
They loved, like, Liberace, and they'd always go, like, you know, when's he going to get married? You know, like my grandmother.
Did you see Good Night and Good Luck where he has...
No.
That's a movie you need to see.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I hear it's great.
And he does an interview with Liberace, and he's like, well, Mr. Liberace, when are we going to find a Mrs. Liberace? And he goes, well, I need to find a soulmate, and I'm looking. Meantime, he's having his boyfriend made to look like him with surgical enhancement. Oh, my goodness.
Good Night and Good Luck, Revenge of the Nerds, and Point Break.
I'm getting you those.
I will buy the DVDs. I'm going to get them to you, and when you're done watching, you can go watch the Game Show Network all you want.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
You can watch Deal or No Deal on Channel 4, whatever it's on. And by the way, the password is vagina.
Oh, that's filthy.
That's a crass word.
We are going to take a break.
It's unsettling. Right.
Porno password. Norm Macdonald is here, sitting right next to Drew and I. And more of your calls. We've got about 40 more minutes. 1-800-LOVE-191 on Loveline. All right, we are back here on Loveline. I am Stryker, along with Gil and Anderson. And here comes the good old doctor, and here comes Norm Macdonald. I was just sitting in here, Norm.
Oh, we were just outside talking about sex.
Really?
Actually, we were talking about 70s TV. Really pathetic.
70s TV, no Point Break, no Good Night, Good Luck.
I like the TV better than movies.
I just want to say something to the ladies real quick. One girl called in and said how much... she liked you and you were attractive. We had a girl here that said that to you. You look like George Clooney, man, right now. Seriously. With the gray going and the hat and the coolness going and you're going outside to smoke and you got the sweatshirt on that says Old Navy.
Yeah.
You're looking good, man. I'm serious.
That's nice.
Down.
It's nice to know that girls and guys are sexually aroused by you.
I am not, well, to say the pager went on, the text message went off and it got me excited.
Ah.
Yeah. Dirty people out there, man.
No, let's face it, I'm a hot piece of ass. No, I have no interest. I'm an old guy. I have no interest in sex.
You don't have a, do you ever go out on the town? I don't mean to, like, Hollywood spots where you just go out, you hang out with your friends.
No, I don't go to any celebrity things.
No?
No, sir.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm just very uninterested in it. You know, people, being famous, and I'm kind of marginally famous.
You're very recognizable.
But not like crazy. Like Sandler, the most famous guy I know is Sandler.
Yeah.
And he can't walk down the street, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, Like, I remember Bill Murray said once, you know, he goes, if you have the choice between being rich and famous and just rich, just pick rich.
Just rich.
Because it's a lot. It's
less
a lot
hassle.
Of, yeah, it's a lot. Of, but I'm just at the right level, you know, about 1 in 20 people go, hey, you're a guy I used to see somewhere on the TV.
And a voice, because you've done voice work before. What about Farce of the Penguins? I forgot that this was being done. It's a take on March of the Penguins.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Tell us all about that and what the hell you're doing in that as a voice.
Bob Saget,
right?
Directed this movie called Farce of the Penguins. It's a takeoff of March of the Penguins, which I have not seen. And so he just called me and said, would you do a voice? And I said, all right.
So you're voice of one of the penguins, I assume.
Yeah, I'm a voice.
And what's your penguin like? Is he gay? Is he straight? Is he?
Yeah, I think it's all filth.
Bob Saget's filthy? I know he is.
Yeah, he's real filthy.
The Aristocrats. Go look at The Aristocrats. Yeah. Have you seen that?
Yeah, they asked me to be on it. And I said, do you ever see it?
Yeah.
Well, it's completely untrue. Nobody ever says that joke to each other. Like, I've been a comedian, like, stand-up comedian, like, 20 years. I've never heard anyone say that joke in my life.
The only time in public they've said it, or that I saw it, was Gilbert Gottfried at the Hugh Hefner roast.
Yeah, but Gilbert Gottfried does old... timey jokes.
Right.
Know? So I'm sure back, you know, George Jessel used to crack people up with it, but...
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's an old-timey guy.
He is? All right. Yeah. Let's talk to Aaron in Sacramento 14. What's up, Aaron?
Hello?
What's happening?
Hey, I was curious, why is it that when I don't have a girlfriend, then, like, you know, I'll get, you know, the average, you know, I'll talk to some girls or whatever... And then when I do, it's like they can sense it on me, and, like, a lot more girls will be attracted to me, it seems like.
Aaron, it's good you're learning this at 14, because this will be a lesson that will be useful to you your entire life. I think I used to say that they had a meeting. They had to get together and go, okay, that one, she doesn't want him, we don't want him either. That's it. And as soon as he's with someone, whoa, everybody, she likes this guy. We got to get him. Got to get him. If she likes him, we got to get after him.
When it rains, it pours, and it happens like that.
No,
when you have a girl.
Meaning
if you get a girl, then right then, they're all coming at you.
I think they do sense it in some way, and it's some primitive thing.
So
I really
it's
do.
Like...
Maybe it's like your confidence, maybe your pheromones. I don't know what it is, but it definitely is something that actually occurs.
Now, do you think the girls feel safe talking to him because they know he's taken?
No.
No.
They want to... It's either some sort of competitive thing, or maybe it's just the guys have different pheromones or act differently when they actually have a girlfriend.
How do you act?
Very subtle.
How do you act towards the girls that are making the so-called move on you when you got the girl?
Well, I'm just really chill with them. You know, I don't. You know, I'm not trying to look to do anything with them because you know I have a girlfriend, obviously. But like, I just act normally how I would. You know, but I'm not trying to like hit on them or anything.
I know, but maybe you get that stink of desperation when you don't have a girlfriend. And that's what they pick up on. It's hard to know. Hard to know, but it is something.
I have a sense about this guy. He's going to be the ladies' man in high school. The way he acts, the way he talks. You get a lot of girlfriends. You get a lot of girlfriends the last couple of years, Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just for all the other 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old guys, what works for you? Give some advice.
What do you mean, like? I don't get it. What do you mean, like?
I mean, what?
Keep
what?
Chilling,
what?
Aaron.
What,
see you later.
What are you doing at 14 to get girls?
Well, you just kind of like, if you're sitting there or whatever, hold on.
Something. All right. No problem, man. No problem.
Hello?
Yeah.
The password
right,
is
Cheryl's
hold
on the line.
When you're sitting down, you know, you like, you know, you see a girl that you're physically attracted to, and you kind of look at her and smile, you know, you just walk over there and start talking to her. And just really? Like, you know, I saw you from across the room or whatever.
I bet when you said hold on just now, that was another talk show host phoning you.
Good job, Aaron. Keep up the work. All right, let's talk to Jim, who's out in Tacoma. What's going on, Jim? You're 22.
Hey, Dr. Drew, how you doing?
Hey, Jim.
He's blowing his nose right now.
Yeah, what's up?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right. About a month ago, my girlfriend and I decided to do a little bit of role-playing, and we ended up getting on the thing. She suggested that she wanted to do kind of a mock rape type situation.
This guy's a comedian.
No, I had a girl do that once to me, but go ahead.
No, and I mean, I obliged her, and I mean...
And then
really
she called the cops, right?
It really... no. It really, I mean, it wasn't my thing too much, But now,
did we talk about your experience?
What's that?
Talk about that.
What experience?
Is it you?
Easy. I don't know.
Yeah. No, but
in Vegas. In Vegas.
What experience that happened in Vegas? Hold on. I know. I don't want you to say
your friend.
Yeah, we talked about that on the air. My friend. Yeah, the girl that went nuts on him.
This is that kind of thing.
The stripper.
Yeah, the people they get a compulsion, an attraction to do things that sometimes can be traumatized. They're reenacting a trauma, and when they get into it, they don't realize they're going to freak out on you. They're going to call the police. They're going to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Even when it was their idea.
Oh, because they have been raped.
Right.
That's what happened to my friend. Exactly, Drew. Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's
because when young girls get physically molested or raped when they're young, they're the best in the sack, right?
Later.
Isn't that?
Yeah, that's what you want to look for, Norm. You want to look for
I've heard that because they think that's their way of showing love.
There's that, but it's much, they really also sort of reenact the trauma and the traumatic event, and so they get into fugue states and then reenacted compulsively, and it just can be a big mess.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend ask me actually to do that.
I said,
it's absurd. Yeah. You're consenting, you know.
And how'd it work out?
You know, I said, I'm not going to do it. First of all, I don't even have a rock, you know.
Did you have duct tape? Jim, go on, man.
It was just, you sort of answered the question. I just want to know, because I really care for this girl, and I don't want to cause her any, psychological damage.
Well, on the other hand, if she's just somebody that was physically abused, the people will really tend to like S&M, and they just sort of need that in order to feel aroused and to feel sexual.
Yeah, and that's kind of the situation here. She every time we're about to go, she doesn't want to do it any other way anymore.
Right, that's what a true fetish is. You need it to function sexually.
But what if it's this? You know how girls are brought up, in the old days, anyway, this way it was, right? Girls are brought up to think that sex is bad, mm-hmm. right?
In the old days, not anymore.
Not now, no. Yeah. It's crazy. It's gone to hell in a handbasket. But in the old days, girls were brought up to think that sex was bad. So, therefore, wouldn't they maybe want a rape fantasy to take all...
control away from them. Yeah, there was that kind of thing at one time. But nowadays it tends to be more of a reenactment compulsion.
So should I try to help her find help, or what should I do? Should I try to help her get past it, or just
you're asking kind of a interesting question, because if it's a fetish and it's working and you're both okay with it, what do you need to deal with it? On the other hand, if it's taking you out of the relationship and the fetish is distancing you, so each of you from the actual experience, the intimacy, yeah, she could use some treatment for that, but...
Jim seems
totally
like the nice guy that...
She'd have to be totally motivated to change.
Jim could be the nice guy that this girl is going after.
Or, to initial sabotage her or not.
Right.
Maybe it's just one of these isolated things.
He has to decide if he wants to stay with her.
I just keep talking to her and see what she... You know, what's really going on here. It's all. Don't freak out so much. You're freaking out about it, Jim.
A little bit. I just don't want her to get... I'm okay with it. But I don't want, continuing damage to go on if this was, a traumatic experience when she was younger.
It doesn't...
Jack her up anymore.
No, that's not the way it works. I mean, you could do that. It's possible. But typically the way it works is people who have sort of shattering experiences need that intensity of activity in order to feel sexual, in order to be aroused.
But now Jim's okay with it. What does that say about him?
Listen, he hasn't described anything off the, completely out of bounds here.
You don't think there's anything odd about wanting to...
I think it's
getting,
odd. I'm
getting
holding
off
my hand
on raping a girl?
That's the fantasy.
What are they doing exactly? She said it's sort of an S&M fantasy, I thought I heard him say.
Do you want to go back to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
What does she have you do?
Pretty much what it is we set up it's kind of like an S&M situation where we set up a safe word, and then she wants me to come in the room and take her forcefully, with her resisting.
Oh, that's
And
do you rip off her panties?
If actual rapists used the safe word, we'd be in a lot better position in this country, I believe.
The thing is, she just, I mean, it's nothing too bad. I don't hit her or do anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
You just shove your penis inside
her. It's all right, buddy. Just keep talking to her about it. Yeah. See what happens. See if she wants some help with it. She may not want help. That's the thing. Maybe work for her. All
and right? just to help me out, what is the safe word you guys use in case I want to try it sometime?
It's horrible.
Bubble gum.
Bubblegum. Okay, cool. Thank you, sir. Big bubble, no trouble. Was that a smoke alarm that just went off?
No,
no, it wasn't.
Was.
All right.
It was funny, that guy that called that you were asking about. Some guys have just the way with the ladies, you know?
Yeah.
Aaron.
Aaron, yeah. And my buddy was like that, man. And this guy, it's just something. I don't know. It's like, do you know what I mean?
Some animal magnetism.
Some animal magnetism. Yeah. And this guy, man, he could get any more. I swear to God, this guy, and he wasn't like super handsome or anything, but he had something about him. And he'd get any woman that he literally had sex with, a different woman, like every day. It was, and it could be the most beautiful women. And I asked him, I said, what's your secret, you know? He said, I'm a serial rapist. And I said, well, that doesn't count.
Did you ask any of the women what they saw in him?
No, that was a joke, Drew.
It was just a joke. Yeah. He was going along with the joke.
I went all around the joke. I could see a guy thinking like that, you know what I mean? And that's how those guys tend to think.
After you just said that joke, I had a flashback of a comedian I saw years ago, and maybe it was you. I mean, this was like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do the joke like a comedian, but he was talking about how he was dating this girl and spending tons of money, and he finally asked her.
Oh, I know who that was.
Who was that? Was that you?
No, it was Stevie Ray Fromstein. Stevie Fromstein.
All right.
But go ahead, do the joke.
So he said, I was dating this girl, and I was spending so much money on her. Wait, what's the joke
again?
Oh,
it's Drake Sather. That's who it is.
Okay. Go do it, please.
The great Drake Sather. No, he said, I was with this girl, and I said, every time I'm with you, I seem to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And she said, well, it's because I'm a prostitute. I thought you knew.
Exactly. All right, let's
line
talk.
Six. To,
what's that?
Line six.
No, five.
All right.
No, five. Five real quick. Five and six. Carlos in Sacramento. You're 20. What's happening?
Six.
All right. Amy in Long Beach, 14 years old. What's going on?
14. Yeah.
What's up, Amy? Yeah.
I have a question.
Yep.
How come boys, I heard in a magazine that boys think of sex every 7 seconds.
Yeah, and by the time they're 17, 18,
sex.
I'm not sure you can actually measure the time between when they're, you know, there's not any time when they're not thinking about sex around that age. They are under the influence of a drug at that point, and that drug is testosterone.
I think about it, honestly, for instance, this weekend in Vegas.
Yeah.
Every 2 seconds.
Yeah,
every
really?
Second.
Yeah.
Every
You and I are beyond that. You have to remember back in your memory system when it was
and
like
it's not 15. Dirty like I'm having sex. It's just you walk and you're walking in Vegas and there's boobs everywhere.
Yeah,
it's every second.
Yeah.
Right.
And every time you walk around, you're on not necessarily a mission. That girl's always goes, everywhere you go.
Men are on drugs when they're 18 to 22.
A friend of mine actually is like, you know, I'm 43. This guy's like 50.
Right.
So he decided to take the Viagra, you know?
Yeah.
So he would have the erections, but he wouldn't have, like,
desire. Yeah.
So then he took,
testosterone.
Testosterone.
Yeah.
Really?
Then he said, like you were saying, on a mission, he was, like, going to bars, and he would not stop until he found a girl, you know?
Right.
It was like a...
Well, that's 18. That's what you are like when you're a teenager.
Right.
Yeah, and the women do not get that. We don't educate them to understand that these men are under the influence.
Yeah.
That's driving them.
Yep.
And if you think they're thinking like you are, no, they ain't.
And women have no sex drive at all.
No, they're just not the same thing.
They're thinking about, like, baking cookies every 7 seconds.
Yeah,
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels told us she produces these porn films. She goes,
and stars in them.
She goes, you know, guys just want to, I learned through doing all these porn films, she goes, I've learned that guys just want to watch people having sex, and women want to understand why these two people like each other so much that they want to have sex. And that's pretty good.
That's,
and we like, remember last night we were talking about different positions for guys, that's our thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If it's doggy
whatever
style, because
it
that's what we're looking at right there.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. Explain it, Drew.
Just the guys tend to get, first of all, they tend to focus on body parts. They tend to zero in on things. To a girl, that is a bizarre concept to women. Because they think about, close their eyes, think about how they're feeling, you know, look in people's eyes. Guys are like, even if they don't like what the parts are that are in front of them, they start conjuring other parts.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
parts.
Or eventually move them into the position so you are looking and feeling at what gets you going.
And guys have their zone, and once they get a girl to sort of participate in that zone, they don't want to move out of it.
Yeah.
And girls are always wondering, why don't they want to change? They always the same thing. So that's it. That's their thing. That's what that guy's thing.
Have you tried
Viagra? How crazy is it? No. I would never do anything to at any... do anything to my heart.
How crazy one?
How crazy is it that when a guy is having sex, his mind is so gone, he's sometimes actually saying what he's doing? You know what I'm saying? How crazy are you?
Are you asking me?
No, I'm just saying a girl never does that.
Right, that's right.
A girl does, you know, you go, I am free. Then the girl goes, yeah, I know what she
does. All right, on that note, I'm going to go to the bathroom right now. Right. Norm Macdonald is here. He has a CD. He's been working on it for 22 years, and it's coming out Tuesday, September, oh, 9 years, sorry.
Longer
9 years.
Thriller.
Norm Macdonald, Ridiculous is the name of it. You can get it at ComedyCentral.com. John Lovitz is on it, Will Ferrell, Molly Shannon, the wonderful Tim Meadows, and he's here right next to us. And more of your calls as we get to the end of Loveline with Norm and me, Stryker, and the Doctor. It's Loveline. We'll be back. All right, we are back on Loveline. We got Norm Macdonald here. Have you seen the full-length Billy Madison movie that you are in?
What do you mean?
Have you seen it? Have I watched the film? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right, good. Because there are other movies that you haven't seen. I was wondering if you see your own movies.
I saw Sandler. That's a Sandler movie.
Yeah.
I generally don't see movies that I'm in, but I love Sandler.
Are you into bands, into music? Earlier in the show, you said you weren't too into it, but I also heard
country
you.
Country music.
I'm into country music, and people hate my guts, but for that reason. But I'm into old-timey country music. I don't like modern country music.
Who are some of your old-school country bands, people you like?
Oh, my favorites are Waylon Jennings and Merle Haggard.
Waylon Jennings, for those out there, sang the theme song to Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Just a good old boys never meaning no harm.
That's right.
All right. Do you like any current bands, whether it's a Pearl Jam or a White Stripes or something like that, or not really?
I like Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah.
I like Hank Williams III. There's some new guys.
Right.
Hank Williams III, I think rock guys would like, because he's like his grandfather.
Country's huge. They sell a lot of records, Drew, the country artists.
But I don't like the new guys at all.
No.
Because it's very, very feminized now.
Got it.
Used to be about drinking.
Right.
In the jails. Fighting.
Losing your woman, your horse, and your drink.
When I was a kid, you know, my dad was Scottish, my mother was Irish, and I listened to Irish music. Every song is about booze. My funniest one, my brother and I used to play, it was called Whiskey, She's My Mother. And I'm like, man, you got me to consider whiskey your mother. But virtually every song, they'd sit down to write a song. Oh, what'll I write about today? Whiskey. What else?
Try beer today.
Speaking of whiskey, Justin, 18, here in L.A. What's up, man?
I've been with my girlfriend for like a year and 3 months almost. Right. And I've been like curious to try like anal sex, but like she's like 100% against it.
There you go.
Like 100%. Is there any way to like?
Listen, many women are harmed by this. It's very painful and will harm her. You still want to do it?
Feels fantastic, though.
What's that?
For the dude, it feels fantastic.
Yeah, I've never thought of it.
I've heard. I don't know.
You say that with such confidence.
I don't know. He's going to insist upon it. Look, there are women that like this and can tolerate it, and their bodies are sort of okay with it. There are women that cannot and will.
It's not like it's even been tried. It was just like if you bring it up in like a question, she's like, no.
Well, there's probably a reason. That probably she knows it would not be comfortable for her.
Most women are like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, so you're saying, Dr. Drew, that gay guys should not perform anal sex?
Not that many, not a high percentage of guys do. Most of them just engage in mutual oral.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, a lot.
So gay men and gay women do generally not have intercourse?
Generally. I mean, I'm not saying that all, but generally that's a common thing. You know, that oral sex is a major component of that.
I've always found it odd to have a relationship with someone and yet not have intercourse.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you having intercourse with her, Justin? You having sex?
Yeah.
Does she give you blowjobs?
Oh, God.
Does she?
No, I mean, she does, but...
You're fine. You have sex and you receive oral sex. You're good.
Yeah.
You're good. You're 18. You're having sex at 18. I didn't even know what it was at 18.
You want to find a girl that really is into the other thing? Fine. Why?
Sam Kinison used to have a really funny bit on anal sex. Where he went, he compared to being in the Garden of Eden, and they had the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. They had the apple, and God said, "You can have any fruit except that apple." And they were like, "Well, we weren't even thinking of that apple, you know.
Until you mentioned it.
Yes. So it's like the girls are going, you can have sex with me here in the mouth, you can have sex with me here in the vagina, but not here in the ass. And then I wasn't even thinking about that, but now I can't stop thinking about it.
Good bit. Sam Kinison, man. It's Chris in San Jose. You're 23. What's up?
I had a question for Norm. How's it going?
That's a simple question. It's going well.
Awesome. I was wondering if you were planning on writing or starring in any more films after you get done with the voiceover for the new Penguin flick.
Yeah, I did. I wrote a movie that I might do with this other famous guy.
What's the name of it? Homeland Security?
Yeah, oh, no, that thing? No, I don't know if
that
I'm going to
thing.
Do that or not. Oh, yeah, that's a movie I might do. No, this is one I wrote that time.
You wrote another one?
I wrote a movie that I might do in October. I don't know yet, but I hope so.
That'd be very cool if you did.
Ah, cool, man. Thanks. That's nice.
Yeah, well, I like your work, and thanks, guys.
Cool, man.
Thanks for calling.
Got a striker on the film, Norm.
Yeah?
You got a striker me in the film.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll put you guys in, man.
All right.
We'll show
be
up.
Sweet.
It'll be fun.
No anal sex, though. No. I don't want to shoot anything like that.
It's not that kind of
a... Oh, it's a regular movie.
Not that kind of a motion picture.
Okay, good.
Stryker only goes in porn, so...
He's
only in
porn. I'll tell you, I don't watch pornography. I don't mind it, but mostly, like, I cannot bring myself to go into a video store and go, you know, I'll be masturbating later, anything you can suggest. It's just too humiliating for me. So the only time I ever watch them, I'm in a hotel, but then I can't... This is actually a pathetic thing that happened to me the last time I was in Vegas.
Yeah.
I got busted out of the series, which was just traumatic, you know. And I'm walking through the casino, and everybody's, like, coming out to me going, you're going to win the whole thing, because, you know, they knew I was chip leader or whatever. So anyways, I go up to my room, you know, I'm just lying in my bed in Vegas, you know, just completely depressed. And then in the room next to me, there's this crazy sex going on because the door, it adjoins, you know.
That's annoying.
And I'm like, oh, this is so depressing. So I said, I'm just going to watch a porno, you know, and drown this sex out.
Right.
And I turn on the porno, I swear to God, exact same noises. So then I'm like, ah, I'm like super creeped out. And I had to go into the sweet part of it.
That's awesome.
But anyways, what I find with these pornography movies is that they have this is what I don't like about them when I was trying to watch them. They have a story going on, and then they have sex. You know, it's like a hybrid kind of movie.
It's for the
women. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So, but they don't tell you when the sex is going to end, you know? So you're masturbating and everything. All of a sudden, two policemen fully clothed, right? And they're like, we got to find the... And then you're going, oh, yeah, they got to find the drugs, of course. You know, you're trying to get into the movie. They got to get that Rico guy, you know? And then, boom, back to sex.
Love you actually did the masturbation movement here for us. That was great. Yeah. And you did the shape of a circle with your hand,
okay,
and you did it above your head all the way down to your wiener, like you have a 12-inch wiener.
All right. Here
that
we
was
go.
Lovely. All
taking
right.
a break.
We're taking a break. Norm Macdonald is here. I hope you make the movie. What?
You're filthy.
No. The movie's in October. You're going to get it made with that famous person. Norm Macdonald, CD, Lovely Man, Angel Hat. We're back in a minute on Love Line. All right. I am holding in my hand Norm Macdonald's CD, which is called Ridiculous. It's coming out on the 12th, a Tuesday, of course, September 12th. You can also get it at ComedyCentral.com. Thank you, man, for being here.
Yeah, this was a blast.
Come back again.
I'd love to come back. It'd be fun. Wow. Talk about sex.
Yeah, sex.
With 12-year-olds.
Amazing.
We had a nice range of people tonight. I'm really glad I got to meet you, by the way. I think you're hilarious and all your
nice
work
striker.
You do. So, and people
you
dug
too,
you.
You too, man.
Thanks. So,
of course, the great Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I hope you feel better, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Just a quick wrap up. Thanks, Norm, for being here.
You bet, pal.
Get the CD, you guys, for Dr. Drew, who's sick, who's going to be better hopefully tomorrow. I am Stryker. This has been Loveline. Goodbye.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold.
Engineered by Anderson Cowan.
Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One.